You sit and stare at your phone screen. You even scroll a bit for inspiration. As an entrepreneur, you're supposed to post every day, right? You know you need to post something today, but what? What if you had 30 days worth of storytelling prompts to give you inspiration? And best part? It's free. What? These thought-provoking prompts will get your creative juices flowing and help you attract and connect with your audience in a more meaningful way. Designed to be used on any platform, from lighthearted posts about your business journey to reflective ones about the why behind what you do, this story prompt calendar makes it easy for you to attract and nurture your soulmate customer so they can convert to sales no matter what your niche. Get your 30-day content calendar now and say goodbye to that blank page stare. Go to www.thenickdemus.com/30-day-calendar to get yours free. This is the Creative Soulpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Demus. Let's go. Welcome back, my friend, to the Creative Soulpreneur Podcast. I am excited today because I'm going to have a conversation with somebody that I've known for years. I mean, over 20 years I've known this human being, but we've never had this conversation. In fact, he admitted to me before coming on that he's never publicly had this conversation. That sounds scary, but it's not. Rodney, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I'm going to read your bio. This isn't something that I always do, but I'm going to read your bio because I think that I want people to have a full grasp and understanding of who you are. So this is how your bio reads. It's always interesting to hear somebody else read your bio. So enjoy. Sit back, put your seatbelt on, and enjoy. Rodney Brazil, a global SEO specialist and writer in Oklahoma City, excels in digital marketing and SEO, enhancing web content and strategy across industries. With roles at Comelty Content Strategies and Namecheap Incorporated, he's honed skills in consumer traffic analysis and social media. His theater background, evident in plays like Meaningless, integrates artistry with strategic messaging, showcasing his unique blend of creative and technical expertise. That's pretty damn impressive, friend.
All right. I like it. I wrote that bio just for this to send to you. So I'm glad you're impressed by it.
It's good. It's really good. And okay, so today I really want to dive into, there's so many ways that we could go with this conversation, but today I really want to dive into SEO.
Great.
And the reason I want to talk about this is that it's like a mystery to most people. It's like, what is that even? So I want to start there really with you. For anybody out there who's like, I don't even understand what SEO is. I know I should have it maybe, but I don't even get it. What is SEO?
SEO is, that's an acronym for search engine optimization. And what it means is taking digital content and creative resources and making them easier for search engines to understand, and in turn, making them easier for people to find. So anytime you put something on a website or on YouTube or on any of the gazillion platforms we have today, one of the ways that people can find that content that you publish is through some sort of search. So that can be Google search, but that's also, you know, the field at the top of YouTube. That's your voice activated search that you might have on your smart device at home. And so you want your content to be able to communicate well with those search applications, algorithms, as you'll mostly hear it's referred to in this universe, in this space. But then the ultimate goal is that the right person uses that search to then find your content. So you're really communicating with two different things when you are optimizing for search engines. And that's the software that operates the search and people.
So then how do you find like the balance between that? Because those are two very different audiences, so to speak.
Well, it is exceedingly difficult, and a lot of people have difficulty kind of understanding where to find that balance. And even for me, it took me several years before I really really got the hang of making sure that my content would appeal to both of those things. And so you do it, one, by following the data. You have to look at the data that we have available on how search algorithms work. Most of the research that's been done is on Google's cryptic search algorithm. But then, you know, other search apps have been more transparent about how their search functions work. So understanding that and making sure that your content tries its best to be in compliance with what we know about how the search software works. And then looking at the data of what real people do, which I'm sure many people are aware by now, anytime you do something online, there's a record of it somewhere. It may be anonymous who you are. It's usually not anonymous who you are. But that data is collected usually in multiple places. And so me as a marketer, I have tools that give me access to a large portion of that data. So I can see what human behavior is and what people are doing to try and find content like what I'm trying to amplify is the word that we use, which basically means trying to make more people find it. And so you take the data from both of those two very distinct pools, and then you have to make it work together without sacrificing the original intent of the content that you created. When you do all three of those things, which can be very difficult depending on the task, then you usually have some pretty successful content that a lot of people engage with online.
So I think, you know, one of the frustrations, maybe, and maybe you can speak to this, is that the algorithm, as we say, feels like it's constantly changing. How have you, being in this industry for so many years, how have you seen SEO shift or change in the last however long?
Right. So it's shifted a lot, but there are certain principles that are still the same.
Ooh,
so
I want those. What are those principles?
The principles that are still the same is, at least now, at least as of the date that we're recording this, things could change tomorrow. Most search is driven by words. People, whether they're typing them into a keyboard or saying them into their phone or saying them into their remote control, it's still words. And so all of these algorithms try to get a handle on the words that people are using and what they're trying to find when they use those words, and then connect them to content that somebody else has made that may or may not use those same words. And so
so what you're saying is these are like the key what we call keywords. You'll hear this chat keywords. A lot about the importance of keywords in even now on Instagram, TikTok, that the use of these keywords is so vital, and this is why, is what you're saying.
That is why. And so even though how algorithms use the keywords has changed substantially in the last decade, ultimately it's still about having those keywords match up with whatever you are putting online digitally and what people are searching for. And the classic example of that is, you know, in the early days of buying used cars online, when search algorithms were less sophisticated, all these car dealers went on and they put pre-owned vehicles on their website. Well, those weren't getting as much traffic as websites that said used cars, because everybody in the world that wanted to buy a used car was still using used car. They weren't searching for pre-owned vehicles. Things are more sophisticated now, but in the early days, that was the kind of thing a search engine optimization would help a business do, is say, you know, you're not using the exact words that your customers are using.
I was going to say, but even though the search engine has gotten way more sophisticated, that's still the words that their audience would be using. So you want to use, don't you, the words that your audience uses?
You do. And Google especially is much more advanced semantically. So now Google knows that if somebody searches used car, that if there is a page for a business near them that says pre-owned vehicles, Google knows to serve that. But not all algorithms are sophisticated as theirs. Plus, it is still better to use the terminology that your customers are using, not only for the search algorithms, but because your customers want to see that evidence that you speak the same language that they're speaking. Yeah. And so that's where it comes into connecting with the algorithm and that person.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
And I'll give you a quick example before we go on if you want to use it. So I write an email newsletter for one of my clients who I do most of my work for in the marketing world. And it's called The Dispatch. You know, we call this news roundup the EZWP Dispatch. Well, I noticed, because we've published a few dozen of these now, I was putting the word dispatch at the beginning of what we call the URL slug. And that's, you know, that's kind of the words that make up that extension of that page, that URL of the page. Well, I was putting dispatch at the beginning, and Google was serving us for all of these searches for dispatch, even though that's just a name. We're not dispatching anything. We're not trying to be 911 dispatchers. And so because of that, as me, the SEO specialist, it's my job to find nuanced things like that. And so now we're moving dispatch to the end of the URL so that more relevant words can be closer to the beginning. So that's the kind of thing that I do and look for on a regular basis.
So let's say you are you don't have a you. You're out there, you're a solo or a solopreneur on your own doing it. Do you recommend simply testing, trying different things? How do you find it? How do you know, basically? How do you know that it's working?
Yeah, so I think there's two questions there. One is how do you know if you're not an SEO specialist? And the best thing that you can do is listen to your customers, listen to your readers, listen to the people, the audience that you want to see your stuff, and listen to the words that they're using. Take notes of it. Take a look at the videos that are popular in your space, if there are any. Take a look at the books that people are writing. What terminology do those authors use? Because most likely those will indicate, you know, sort of the language that people are using. Not always, but it's a great place to start. And if you are an existing business or you have an existing newsletter or an existing website, see what your customers are emailing you. See what your customers are searching for on your site, and use that terminology when you see those patterns. So that's what you do if you're just kind of getting started at this. What was part B of the question? How do you then work it in?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you work it in and there's some rules that you can follow. But in general, you speak the language of your readers. You speak the language of your audience as best you can. And in most cases, there is a language for most sectors of commerce and publication. In most cases, there are sometimes, if you have a very innovative product or a very innovative message that you're trying to promote, that can be trickier because you're the first one talking about it. You're the first person selling this product. That is very, very tricky. And you probably should hire somebody like me to help you if you have the resources to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to connect that dot now to your work in your creative endeavors.
Absolutely.
Can you share first some insights about how you balance your worlds? Because you're in I know you from the theater. I don't actually know you from this world, which is ironic because we're both now in both worlds. But how do you, as somebody who's working at the global company, as their go-to SEO person, also balance your theater life? How do you do it?
It's careful planning. I have a very, very heavily used calendar online that's got all the way down to when my yoga class is on Wednesday, to when I have marketing work to do, to when I have got a deadline to submit my next script to a festival or whatever I'm doing. And I have to do that. That's the only way. I also have very little chill. I am doing something all the time. About the only time that I stop working is if I'm sick. However, I like both lines of work that I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm motivated by both. And so it doesn't, it very rarely do I really feel burnout. Like certainly there are days that are cram-packed and more stressful than others. But because I'm fortunate enough to get to express myself and get income from sort of two different industries, entertainment and marketing, both of which I love, it allows me to have that desire to organize it and be able to balance it all.
So I completely relate. I mean, like, down to the calendar when my yoga class is in my calendar. Like, it's exactly like that. And I have that very full calendar, and I have things in chunks, and I, you know, try to chunk it out, and I try to keep all my clients on 2 days a week, and so that I can really, you know, use my calendar to its fullness. One of the things that I've personally struggled with, though, so I want to get your take on this, is bringing my worlds together rather than thinking of them as separate, of how they merge and how they intersect. Because I always find the intersection the most interesting parts for me, where the marketing and my theater come together in some form or fashion. And for you, I'm wondering, are there commonalities and differences in the way that maybe you're using SEO and the way you're marketing for, say, your theater endeavors versus those that are more, you know, traditional?
Oh, absolutely. They're absolutely connected, and quite accidentally. You know, I started off, I got into marketing. I was a theater major. I was a music major. And I got into marketing. But I got into it while I was trying to save money to move to New York. And I thought, I need something that's going to pay me more than just like retail. And so I kind of got into sales and marketing. And I was saving to move to New York. But then while I was working in sales and marketing, I realized I actually don't have to move to New York to find fulfilling entertainment work. And so I was working here in Oklahoma City, and I was getting, you know, cast pretty regularly. I eventually got into producing my own work and producing the work of others. And so that's when it really started colliding, because all of this marketing work that I had learned from sort of my day job, my sustaining job to help me while, you know, my income from entertainment was more limited. All of those marketing skills immediately came into play when I started producing my own work. And so when I put up a website for a theater company that's really, it's really just a logo, you know, it was never really a theater company. We called it Next Stage, and it's really more of a way to brand the work of several different independent artists. But anyway, we built this website, and I knew SEO. And so I optimized the website. And about 2 months after the website went up, we were the second highest ranked website when you searched theater in Oklahoma City after just a couple of months. And all of the other theater websites, with the exception of one, were below ours. And that was a wonderful moment, a crossroads moment, where it's like, okay, all of this time I've been spending learning marketing has just helped me find a wider audience for my entertainment work.
Wow. That's, I mean, because I know the theaters, and obviously I know the theaters in Oklahoma, having run one of them. Yeah. So that's really fascinating to me that you were able to rank yourself so high so quickly.
Yeah.
What kind of keywords did you use? How did you do that?
Well, it's the ones that you'd expect, you know, theater in Oklahoma City, live performance, new plays, things like that. But what was happening at the time is really none of the other theaters in Oklahoma City had websites that were optimized for search engines at the time. You know, this was 12 years ago,
okay,
12, 13 years ago. And there's no longer a website for that kind of theater brand. It's really just we use social media now. But yeah, that, I mean, that's exactly what happened, is nobody had taken the time to implement any sort of search optimization strategy in these other websites. And so when I did, you know, Google responded.
Well, I think that's really key right there. What you said is nobody had taken the time and you did. And so if you're out there listening, you're like, I don't know about this SEO thing. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know if it's worth it. That alone tells you that it actually is. If you take the time to optimize your website, it will work. It still works. It does work.
Yeah, it still works. And things are much more competitive today. You know, decade ago, there were a fraction of the number of websites that are out today. You know, there's, I can't remember what the statistic is, but it's websites in the thousands go live every single day. And some come down, but overall, the gross number of properties on the World Wide Web are exponentially higher. So it does take a little bit longer, but it does still work. And companies who use these techniques find new customers.
Yeah, which is all the more, if it's more competitive, all the more reason why you need to do it, right? In order to get seen.
Yes.
And yep. literally, it feels like everyone and their dog literally has a website these days. People have website for their dogs, like literally everyone and their dog. So consequently, to rise above, you have to be all that much better to really engage and really do it. So what words of advice would you have for anybody out there that is like, I'm just getting started. What's the baseline? Where do I even begin?
So somebody that's just getting started, I would say, think about your customer first. If you don't have customers to talk to, think about who that ideal customer is. And a lot of times, if you're on a mission to start a new business, you are a customer. You are a person who wants whatever is not available, and so you're going to create it yourself. And so really think about the language that you would use to search that. Think about how other people, if when you're having discussions with them and floating your ideas, what words do they use when they respond to you? And to be fair, it is about more than words. We've spent a lot of time talking about words. That really is sort of the anchor that holds all search engine optimization together, truly is. But there are many, many other factors. But just for simplicity's sake, start with the words. But then there are really good resources online that will give you the basics very, very quickly. And a lot of website content management systems is the phrase that we use, but that refers to things like WordPress and Squarespace and all of these platforms that you're familiar with. A lot of them have built into their software easy paths to follow to optimize your site. And so really look at those resources and take the time to look at those areas. And yeah, it may take you a few hours to kind of get the basics, but it could mean the difference between somebody finding your website 30 days after it goes live, somebody you've never heard of that just found you online, 30 days after versus 2 years after. I recently was working with a local company, and they sort of like a friend of theirs came to me and knew that this was my specialty, and they just sort of emailed me and said, what's going on? But they had a website that had been online for over a year. They'd had nobody had filled out a form. Nobody had called them from their website. And there were some very key things that had been done incorrectly on their website. And so I was able to go and fix those within just a couple of weeks. This was very, very recent, so I don't have the data, but what will happen now is they will start to see more of their audience come to their site.
You're inspiring me right now, Rodney, to go to my website and look at how it was set up, because I had a web designer, right? So I'm like, oh, maybe I need to go back in and really look. And because also things evolve and change in your business. My business is very different than it was when I started it 5 years ago. I have the same website that I've updated, but I haven't updated the keywords. So now you've really inspired me to go in and take a peek at everything that I'm doing and the way in which I'm saying it across the board.
That's exactly right. And the thing to look for, if you've got an existing website and you're trying to determine, okay, what are the areas for the improvement? Because there's always room for improvement. Any website, I have a website that I've been working with for, I think, 6 years now, and I still find things that I discover. It's like, oh, here's an opportunity. But go and look and read phrase by phrase, headline by headline. On most pages, you've got your headline, and then you expand on that in a paragraph or two. Then you've got another headline. You go look at those headlines and say, does this convey concisely and accurately what that person will read in the following paragraph? Because if it just says something like, welcome to my site, that doesn't say anything to Google's search algorithm, and that doesn't say anything to that person who may eventually land on your site either. But if you have something more concise, learn how to improve your business or something that's more specific, then computers understand that and people understand that. And that's the two parties we're trying to please here.
Good stuff. Really good. Thank you for that inspiration, truly. I'm definitely going to go back to my website and really look at it. So thank you for that.
Great.
Okay. Are you willing to play the final three questions?
Yes.
I just throw out a question and you say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay, great.
Okay, here we go. So, question number one. Who would you like to collaborate with that you haven't yet?
Oh. Paula Vogel.
Paula Vogel. Oh, theater Paula Vogel. That's interesting. Okay, why? What is it about Paula Vogel?
Okay. So the why is she's got a great website, and I really love her works, and I've been very inspired by her dramatic writing. And so I would love to optimize her website because it needs it. She's Paula Vogel, so she doesn't need it, but I would love to do that.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fun. Second question. What is your next great manifestation?
My next great manifestation is to have one of my written works published. That's what I'm secreting right now, these days.
I love it. One of your plays.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I got that. That's happening. That's happening. That's out there. That's happening. That's good.
Working towards it.
Okay. Final question. Final thought here. Fill in the blank. I am.
Compassionate.
I am compassionate. I like it.
And I say that even at the conclusion of the conversation we just had, because one of the things that I think sets me apart from other marketers is I really want, because I work with other business owners, I'm helping them with their business. And not that my work necessarily makes or breaks their business, but I want them to see their vision fulfilled with what they wanted to when they started on this journey. And so I think that takes a lot of compassion, and it takes me really taking the time to listen to their story and listen to what they want their business and their product or their content to represent, and really trying to honor that as best I can. Yeah, and of course that extends to other parts of my life as well. But I think if there's, you know, if there's one thing that I focus on being all the time and think that I mostly achieve, it's being compassionate.
That's why I brought you on this show, because you are a compassionate human, because you have a big heart.
Well, thanks.
And that's just the truth. That's just the truth of it. So thank you for that. Thank you for sharing your time today. Thank you for sharing your insight and your wisdom around this topic. I think it is one that feels like out there for a lot of people, like somewhere in the ethers. So it's really, really helpful to sort of debunk it and to get into it. And I really appreciate the compassion that you have for all of us that are learning as we're growing. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
So people can find me at my website, which is komalty.com, KOMALTY.com. It's the name of the ghost town where my grandparents have a farm. And I named my business after that because even though it's a farm in Southwest Oklahoma, it was one of the first places I really encountered technology as a kid. You know, tractors are pretty sophisticated. So that was kind of, again, you know, where that came together for me. So komalty.com. But I'm on LinkedIn, Rodney Brazil. And I like to go there because there's a lot of really good information there these days. A lot of it is very productive and useful content, unlike maybe some other social platforms where you can spend your time. So that's a great place to find me as well.
Very good. So go find him on LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, if you're not, get on it. Clearly there's great content there for you. I'm a newbie to LinkedIn. I don't know what I'm doing on there just yet, but I when I find out, I'll let you know, because you know I'm an Instagram guy, but I'm going to figure this out, this LinkedIn, how to make it work. And I'm going to go optimize my website after this call, like, hello. And I really do appreciate you. Thank you so very much.
Nick, thank you.
I know you enjoyed today's podcast, so be sure to go share this with a friend who needs this SEO love, who needs the help. And leave us a review, because what does that do there for the algorithm? Brings us back to the top, helps us get more people. So do leave the review so we can spread the love. And I'll see you on the next episode.